Yeah. So we've gone from really looking, delving into a little field to looking at sort of a worldwide perspective on things. I'd like to give a lot of credit at this point, of course, to the staff. My staff as national leader for INTERPS for USDA and NRCS. I have a staff of Bob Dobos, Steve Peasley, and Kathy Seibold, who are names that you ought to keep in your mind if you're working with Surgo data nationwide. They are my gurus for really thinking through interpretations nationwide and creating interpretations and applications. Kathy's the numbers person. Bob is NCCPI, if many of you know that. It's the National Commodity Crop Potential Index for the country, or Productivity Index for the country, for corn, soybeans, and various other crops. Steve Peasley is the GIS person, so the three of them together are a powerhouse. And then Dave Smith is my boss, so got to put him on there. And this particular presentation actually was derived from a seminar, actually it was more than a seminar, it was a small conference that SSSA sponsored, but then also OECD sponsored last May or last March on soil security and the large framework for global soil security. And within that framework, there were described 5 conditions. Capability, which is the one I'm going to talk about and the one I'm most interested in, condition, the current state of soil, capital, the economics, connectivity, the social connection, which many of us do all the time, and codification, which is the policy frameworks or the rulemaking and the policies that work through to secure soil. And we had speakers from all over the world that talked about these topics, and I had to do soil capability, which is the intrinsic capacity of a soil to produce products and ecosystem services, and to make that general discussion. And I'm going to carry through and just cover some of those aspects for you as a large big picture framework, and also how it relates to interpretations and the use of Surgo nationwide in creating large scale maps and interpretations. So let's go here. So first of all, just to go just very briefly, the standards of National Cooperative Soil Survey, NCSS, you know, we have soil taxonomy keys, the National Soil Survey Handbook, and I encourage you all to look at these items, particularly the National Soil Survey Handbook, when you're thinking about databases, because within that National Soil Survey Handbook are many of the thresholds that are described with the soil properties that move you towards interpretive values in the soil survey and are some of the basis of modeling that goes on in the speaker that we just talked about before with the biochemistry. If some of the biochemistry folks knew what, let's say, Kathy knew or Bob knows in terms of the inner workings of that database, it would probably be helpful in fine-tuning their model. And then the soil survey manual is how we actually did those soil surveys, which is always somewhat interesting, and the laboratory methods. Let me go on. Of the soil survey products, I think many of you in the audience know about these, but there's the Surgo, which was just mentioned, the Web Soil Survey, which is a more generalized version, but you can do an area of interest and pull the data out. The NASIS National Information System is the background information where all of the Surgo data feeds into. And so it's the property database. And then you can gather most of this information through the geospatial gateway, where you can get it as raw data or as interpreted data. And then with the soil interpretations of the National Cooperative Soil Survey, some of the basis of that soil interpretations as we describe it, is we were looking at soil properties, and this is like the basis of the National Cooperative Soil Survey. We were looking for properties that are stable behind a 5 to 20 year cycle of use and management. Now, the new kind of the new push with USDA is soil health, and that's looking at the more dynamic properties that are often less than 5 years. There's basic ideas about the potential of the soils, or let's say the capability of the soil that might run more than 5 years than you would expect if you left the soil alone or you didn't actively manage it every single year. You might eventually revert by climate and general capability of the soil, that's what it would be. And in the USDA NRCS Soil Interpretations Group, that's what we're focusing on when we create our maps, though we are attempting to start to flex now with soil health and creating algorithms that we can interpret these maps to also show soil health capability. Something that, just so you understand the background of interpretations throughout the throughout the history, everything kind of shifted actually in 1935 when the Soil Conservation Service was created. We had two soil surveys going on from the early 1900s through 1935, and when the Soil Conservation Service started, these two groups came together, and there was a feud for over 20 years, truly a feud, where they were at each other's throats all over land capability class versus soil capabilities ratings from soil properties. And in the end, they both won. We still have land capability classes in the soil survey, in the database embedded, and most of our conservationists in the National Natural Resources Conservation Service, when they're doing land use planning, use this as a base, and then they work from there, the same that they did in 1935. But we also work through the interpretations specifically with the soil properties. And, you know, if you go into the Web Soil Survey, which is the easiest way to get to that data, I know many of you work more intimately with the Sirgo data, which is more direct, and you work with it closer in your modeling efforts. But you know, the Web Soil Survey, you'll see the land capability class there right away. So, you know, one of the main messages with soil capability is that for any potential human use or ecosystem services, it must be assessed within the context of the soil properties, either measured or estimated. And this is a major message that I probably want you to think about in terms of soil capability, is that the way our soil surveys have been developed over all these years is that really we're looking, the soils can only do so much. They have a certain capability. You can manipulate them with practices, but in the end, what we were trying to get with the soil survey and how we built the soil survey is that it would eventually, if you left it alone, drift right back to the type of properties that we described in the database. And and that there's thousands of soil series recognized across the U.S. We have about 20,000, and they act as a reference state for the assessment of capability, and help to monitor or reference the conditions. So the condition might go up and down, but really what the soil survey is meant to do is to identify the reference potential capability of the soil. These are all properties that move up and down with, and it's not something I'd expect you to read, but if you pull down the presentation, you can take a look more closely at them. And that each individual soil property impacts the capability of the soil and the relative importance It can be rated into a system, which is what many of the modelers do. Part of what we do with soil scientists in the field in NRCS is we try to teach them to have rules of thumb in their minds of thresholds. When they see a property, that they think about the potential threshold and how it'll move towards a management practice. And then based on that, they delineate those soils within the field when they made their maps. And as they work now towards doing more interpretive value with the soils, they're also thinking in those terms of particular thresholds that are important. Part of the way we do these interpretations is that we work towards, where the center of the concept is and where it can go, and then how close are we to that particular, we see the condition in the field, but then how close is it to the reference point? And that's often how we create these interps. We call it fuzzy logic, but it's not really the fuzzy logic version. With the interpretations maps, I'm going to go into just some examples of interpretive maps that have been done by the National Cooperative Soil Survey. Some were based on soil classification and climate. This is one of them where it's a national map or an international map, a world map. And many of these maps that you see in textbooks, they came from us. And we took broad interpretations and honed it down. The one that I had mentioned before, the National Commodity Crop Potential Index, it's also a productivity index. We go back and forth what we call it. This map, if you've seen some of Jerry Hatfield's talks, he's referring to this work, and this is Bob Dobos' work. If you want to know more about it, call Bob. You can call Jerry, and then he'll send you to Bob. And it's a tremendous potential tool, focusing on corn and soybeans. Most of our rental rates for the country are based on this map. And but what's interesting about this map is it's very, and this interpretation, it's very sensitive to climate. And so you can plug in your own climate ratings of what you see for moisture and temperature, and you can create overlaying with the new climate maps of saying where the climate is going, and it creates a new map, and you show where those soybeans are moving and where that corn is going northwest and where it's getting drier and the corn potential is going down. I recommend looking at this map in terms of a food security type issue. This is one where we did wildlife, and in this case we did valley fever habitat, and this map is spot on. CDC loves this map. A risk of steel and corrosion, and for continental United States, since this is a land management, this is a critical map for business and development all over the country. And then finally, soil vulnerability index. This is something we've been working on most recently, and you were talking about nitrogen leaching, this SVI leaching. This is by watershed to identify areas that conservation practice money should focus. But it's based on more detailed data, the CIRCO data. So in summary, soil capability has been the cornerstone of the NRCS and the USDA programs, but also the National Cooperative Soil Survey Interpretations Program for the whole U.S., which includes other federal agencies, and that the functionality is based on CIRCO and NASIS, and is always maturing. We're thinking about things, but it goes beyond land use, land cover, and focuses on soil properties. And soil capability for any potential human use or ecosystem services must be assessed within the context of soil properties, either measured as estimated. And we can tailor these questions and think about them interpretively, and I encourage you to think about checking in with our staff once in a while, but we are also thinking about connecting with you all in trying to improve our techniques, but also improve the soil survey for the country. And that's it.
Well, thank you very much.